Luke chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. This is the reading of God's word. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And not finding any, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may truly hear your word. So our faith will grow and we'll be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Father, through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us, that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Oh, Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will not only understand but believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in the book of Luke, our Lord Jesus Christ, by casting out demons by the finger of God, witnesses the coming of the kingdom of God. The stronger man, Jesus Christ, comes and binds the strong man, Satan, and overpowers him, and Jesus takes away from Satan all his armor and plunders his properties. But the people's reaction to Christ differs. There are his people who receive him and believe in him, but there are the others who do not receive Jesus Christ and do not believe in him. There are people like the disciples of Jesus Christ who ask him to teach them how to pray and believe in him. But there are the people who say that Jesus casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons, and the others who demand of Jesus a sign from heaven just to test him. Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verse 23, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When it comes to Jesus Christ, as we saw last time, there is no middle ground. There is no neutrality. Now from verse 24 until the end of chapter 11, we see the people who are against Jesus and who scatters. These verses, they focus on Pharisees and the lawyers like scribes. But they include all the citizens of this world in various kinds. Ultimately, they do not believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus warns that we cannot live like them. And he does this all the way to verse 36. But to see up to verse 36 today, the sermon will be too long. So we'll look at up to verse 27. And we'll see verses 28 through 36 next time. So let me read to you Luke chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. When the unclean spirit goes out of man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. But not finding any, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Well, we see the same parable in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. But Jesus says at Matthew chapter 12, verse 45b, as he finishes this parable, he says, that is the way it will also be with this evil generation. So whatever he says in our passage, at the end he says, that is the way it will also be with this evil generation. So this parable is about the reality of this evil generation. This parable shows us a picture of this evil generation. So we are to pay attention so we understand how the generation that we live in is like. An unclean spirit went out of a man, it says. It is not clearly shown how it went out, but verse 25 says, and when it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. So according to this verse, the man who was possessed by the unclean spirit, when that spirit went out, there was much moral improvement in him, the ethical improvement in his life. You could tell that that was so. So he has stopped the wrongdoings and now he has put so much effort to live a good life. It could be that he helped so many of his neighbors and he is now active in numerous charity works. He might even found a religion and he does his best to obey the law. We could say that much by what we read in our passage. But the unclean spirit who failed to find rest, he comes back to him. And Matthew 12, verse 44 says, the unclean spirit found him unoccupied. So that unclean spirit goes and takes along seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and live in him. And the conclusion, the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Remember what Jesus says. This is the way it will also be with this evil generation. The problem of this man. The unclean spirit left him, but he was unoccupied. See, it's different from us. When the unclean spirits left us, and that happened when we became Christian. When unclean spirits left us, the Holy Spirit came to us and He lives in us, but this man was unoccupied. And this condition, being unoccupied, it is still under the control of the unclean spirit. Thus, we see the unclean spirit saying in verse 24 of our passage, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. He calls him my house. So even though the unclean spirit came out, he was unoccupied, but he was still under control of this unclean spirit. This man, it's the man, like many people in this world, who tries his best to live a good life without true salvation of God. There are so many. And they live, actually, better life according to the standard of this world, better than Christians. This man, like many people in this world, who tries to establish their own righteousness apart from Christ. Who does his best to live a moral life without Jesus Christ? But Jesus says the last state of that man becomes worse than the first, even though he tries so hard to establish his own righteousness. Everybody who looks at his way he lives, they go, whoa, this guy is a good person. But the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And he also says, let me remind you once again, this is the way it will also be with this evil generation. Morality apart from Jesus Christ. So-called the righteous life apart from Jesus Christ. This is the highest ethical life of this world. It's way, way higher than we could ever live. And there are people who do this, who lives like this. The highest ethical level that man can reach, but without Christ. The excellent moral life of this world. But you have to understand, brothers and sisters, that this kind of life itself is temptation of Satan. Deception of Satan. Ultimately, this kind of people will reject Jesus Christ. They say, and you probably hear this kind of stuff, I heard it many times, they say things like, I don't go to church, but I live much better than you who goes to church. This is their boast. See, there is better hope for those who believe that they live the filthy life. Because they know that they live filthy life. At least they will acknowledge it. But these who believe that they are righteous, those who say that they live according to the value of even Christianity, without true salvation of God, what the Bible tells us is that their situation is so dangerous. And you might ask yourself, what is he talking about? How can living that righteous life is so dangerous? That's what the Bible teaches us. I'm not making this up. Pharisees were like this. Oh, don't just dismiss Pharisees saying, oh, they're bad people. No. They try so hard to live that moral life, that excellent life that the world praises. But is that how you are saved? With that works? And we're going to see, like I said, all the way to chapter 11, we're going to see people who are against Christ and who scatters because they refuse to accept Christ. But these are people who are doing their best, like Pharisees and scribes, to live that moral, excellent life. But their situation is most dangerous. The Old Testament in Israel is a good example of this kind of people. They boasted that they have received the law of God. Thus, they believe that all who are outside of Israel are unclean. We are not talking about those Israelites who live by true faith in Jesus Christ. But we are talking about these Israelites who truly believe that they are more righteous than the others. And these who believe that they were truly righteous did not accept Jesus Christ when He came. Especially the Pharisees and the scribes at the time. In today's language, they are the most good Christian that you will find in the church. They actually live a good life according to the standard of this world. When we see Israel, we could see that what Jesus has said came true. The last state of that man becomes worse than the first. These people, they tried to live that moral life, and they did. And yet when Jesus came, they rejected Him. All have fallen in sin in Adam. Bible says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one does good, not even one. Even though Bible says that, but some people think that they actually are doing good. You got to be very careful when you are talking about people in our church. Who is doing good? You really think that person is doing good when Bible says no one does good, not even one. See, you're judging according to the standard of this world. You're not judging by the Bible. Let me read to you Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and verse 12 and verse 20. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is no one, none who does good. There is not even one. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Through the law comes knowledge of sin. When you are faced with the law of God, you realize how sinful you are. But these Pharisees, they use the law of God to boast about the excellent life they're living. I do this, I do that, God said this, and I'm doing that. But if you truly understand the standard that God is requiring in those laws, you will know how filthy sinner you are. But these people, they think they're so righteous. That's why I don't say to you guys, oh, you're doing very good. No one does good. Only one person who did perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. Show me one thing that you do that is not sin. Because what is sin? Not only you disobey the law, but if you do not obey the law perfectly, you sin. So the best thing that you think you did, that's sin. Because you did not do that perfectly. That's God's standard. But these people, they decide on their own sinful understanding what standard should be. Jesus says to Pharisees and the lawyers, and when you read this kind of passage, like I said, don't just dismiss Pharisees. No, if a Pharisee actually comes to church today, he's going to be considered the best Christian you will ever see. That's how they lived. From outside, there's nothing to say bad things about them. And yet, Jesus says, brood of vipers. Jesus says to Pharisees and the lawyers, Matthew 23, verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. It's like a grave. On the outside is so well trimmed and, you know, even well painted, and it's just beautiful. But inside, it stinks. It's decaying. Now, only good works that God is pleased with are through faith in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. You have to understand, there are people, and I will say this next few times because we're looking at rest of chapter 11. But think of the best holy thing you ever done in your life. The thing that you did that you are so sure God is pleased with. Now, if Jesus did not come, and if He did not die on that cross, and that God would judge you only by that best thing that you ever done, then you will go to hell. The best thing you thought you did is nothing without Christ. But this is how Pharisees think. They actually done something great. But this is exactly how church people think. They actually feel good, thinking that they did good thing. When God judges that action alone, you're going to be judged forever. You're going to go to hell. And yet you think that you did good. Only reason that whatever you did is accepted by God is because you did it in Christ. Only because of Jesus Christ. And I'll say this more and more because you got to understand this. Otherwise, you become just like Pharisees. You think you're good when you're not. But you are good in Christ. Which means that the true salvation has to be accomplished, and that only by our God. God has to establish the new creation. He has to recreate us, the citizens, as the citizens of His kingdom. Why? Because our problem is our hearts. Mark chapter 7, verse 21-23, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. See, to be saved means that the person receives a new heart, the new heart that believes in Jesus Christ. And without faith, no one is able to please God. I don't care how great thing that you have done, you have to do it with faith. Bible says, Hebrews 11 verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. And Romans says, without faith, everything is sin. Pharisees, they believe that they are truly righteous in the sight of God without faith in Jesus Christ. Obviously, they did not accept Christ, and yet they thought they are so righteous because they actually lived a righteous life according to the world. Like I said before, they truly did their best to obey God. If they come to church these days, they will be considered excellent Christians. But in the sight of God, just like everyone else, they were sinners who deserved the eternal punishment of hell. They were seeking to establish their own righteousness. Romans chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. We're going to look at this verse next time too, but this is an important verse. Romans chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. Paul says, "For I testify about them that they have zeal for God." The Bible acknowledges the excellent effort that these people did. Bible actually says they had zeal for God. But not in accordance with knowledge. Not according to the Bible. Sounds like so many churchgoers today. They have zeal for God, but it's not according to the Bible. You know, like, I give you this example. Moses goes up to mountain in the Old Testament. He meets God. And let's say God says to Moses, "Hey, go down and build a lampstand for me with bronze." And Moses comes down and says, "Hey, God says to make a lampstand out of bronze." And one person raises their hand and says, "No, no, no, you know God is so great to us. We cannot make lampstand with bronze. Let's make it with gold." And this person actually loves God in their own heart, right? And wants to build that lampstand with gold. And the other guy says, "No, no, God is worth much more than gold. Let's do it with diamonds." Oh, they have love for God. They have zeal for God. So they make a lampstand with diamonds. You think God will be happy when God told them to make a lampstand out of bronze? This is what some people do. They don't know what God says. They don't know the Bible. But they have love for God. They have zeal for God, but not according to the Word of God. Not according to what God says. But it's all about what they think God wants. Brothers and sisters, even if you make a lampstand out of diamonds, God will not be happy. You just sinned. It's not that God needs diamonds, it's He wants you to obey. Obey God. But so many people who go to church, they don't care what the Bible says. "Because I did this because I love God." That's what they will say. But they don't know what the Bible is saying. So this passage is so important. "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." They did not know the righteousness of God they need. But they were trying their best to establish their own righteousness. They lived according to the highest moral level of this world, but even that level deserves the eternal judgment of hell forever. It just results in eternal destruction. "The last state of that man becomes worse than the first," Bible says. There are many like this even in the church today. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. "For if after they have escaped the defilement of this world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandments handed unto them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit. And so, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. These, having known the way of righteousness, turn away from the holy commandment, meaning that they ultimately did not obey God's word. But the Bible is very, very clear that we are able to obey God's word only by faith in Jesus Christ. Thus, they did not live by faith. They did not depend on the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their life is described as a dog returning to its own vomit. This is what Christians living for the world, desiring the world, is described, a dog returning to its own vomit. Oh, if I say as a pastor, people are going to say all kinds of things to me. How can pastor say this? That's why I just quote the Bible. God says it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. For in the case of those who once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted good word of God and the powers of the ages to come, and then they have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. Now, this verse is not teaching that one is able to lose his own salvation. Once you're saved, you're forever saved. But these people act like they were saved. They were never saved in the first place. The Israelites of the Old Testament was just like this. They saw the great power of God. They saw all kinds of miracles. And yet they reject Jesus when He came. They have tasted the power of God, but ultimately rejected Jesus Christ. They tried to establish their own righteousness. Matthew 23, verse 5, but they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. Brothers and sisters, I want you to pay a good attention today and next couple more times, so that you could examine yourself. The issue is not about the absence of the evil spirit, but it is all about the presence of God. Even the absence of the evil spirit is still in the possession of the evil spirit. And it is not about what you have done, but it is about your faith in Jesus Christ. Like I said, whatever you have done, apart from Christ, if Christ never came and died for your sins and lived that righteous life for you, whatever you have done, what is it? Is God happy that you have done that? Or that you will be judged even by those things that you think that you did it so well? Oh, brothers and sisters, you got to understand how much you need Christ. Without Christ, it's only hell. I don't care how hard you try. That's what you need to understand. And if you trust in Christ, I don't care how filthy you were before. I don't care how sinner, you know. It really doesn't matter. This is why the world will never accept Christianity. Because to say someone is good, when they're really good, world is okay with that. But to say when that person is so filthy sinner, and you still say he's saved, he's still God's child, world will never accept that. Because to their standard, that's not something that could accept. But we were that filthy sinners. And next few times we'll see how filthy we are. And please, when we talk about Pharisees, don't say to yourself, oh, that's not me. I'm not like that. Just by you saying that, you are just like that. Yeah, you say you're an adulterer. You go, no, I never commit adultery. I never. Bible says if you look at woman lustfully, you have committed adultery in your heart. But who cares what Bible says? I'm not an adulterer. According to Bible standard, everybody is an adulterer. Your pastor is an adulterer. I don't know about you, when I look at movie and I see a beautiful woman, something is happening in my heart. And I try not to do that, but what? Am I going to succeed? No, I'm a filthy sinner just like you. And we need to understand that we are this kind of sinners. But Pharisees, no, no. Pharisee will never accept that. Says, no, I'm not an adulterer. Because he did not commit adultery physically. That's what he's saying. But that's not God's standard. If you hate your brother, you have committed murder, God says. But you say, no, no, I never commit murder. I'm not a murderer. Okay, that's how you think you are. You are so righteous. Just like Pharisees. But I am a murderer. I hated my brother so many times. And what? If I try not to hate him, then it's okay? This heart, it's not something I could control. That's how sinner we are. It is not about what you have done, but it is about your faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because we must be given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that only happens through the faith that God has given. No matter how much the good deeds you have done, no matter how much you have done for the other people, no matter how much you have observed the law, in the sight of God, you are still a sinner. And you deserve the eternal punishment of hell until God sees you in Jesus Christ. Then everything changes. And that happens when you believe in Jesus Christ. Not when you do something or when you whatever, but when you believe. Then you are righteous in the sight of God. The evil spirit lived in us. one time. But the Holy Spirit came to us and drove them out of us, and He now lives in us. He lives in us, now and forever. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of house, the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not of your own? You and I, we have become the holy temple of God. Not the house of the evil spirits, but the house of the Holy Spirit. And you and I seek to establish the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that our own righteousness is like the filthy rags. Isaiah 64 verse 6, for all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind takes us away. You have to understand, our righteous acts is just filthy rags. But the world will praise it. World will say, oh, you're so good. Let us not do that in our church. No one's good. Only Jesus Christ. And apart from what Jesus has done, I don't care how you live, you deserve to go to hell. Period. That's the truth. All of us. It's only because of what Jesus has done for us that we are saved. Oh, brothers and sisters, you know, I'm not better than you and you're not better than me. We're all sinners. We are called the righteous in the sight of God only by the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:9, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Only by our faith in Jesus Christ. All who do not accept Jesus Christ are the ones who are included in the phrase, the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. You and I are called to do the works of God, but you must remember, John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, therefore they said to Him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. You want to do works of God? Believe in Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says, not what people say out there. It is all about believing in Jesus Christ. There are so many in the church whose faith is not centered on Jesus Christ, especially who are so diligent in establishing their own righteousness. They are in a truly dangerous situation. If you ever feel that God receives you better because you have done something, you are in a dangerous situation. God receives you as blameless and perfect in Jesus Christ. Tell me, what can you do to make God receive you better? Better than in Jesus Christ. which he already received you. But you feel because you have done something or you gave so much money to a church or whatever, you feel like, oh, God somehow is receiving you better. You are in a dangerous situation. Stop it. Only reason God receives you is because you are in Jesus Christ. Let me conclude this. It is all about believing in Jesus Christ. Ultimately, these people, Pharisees, who established their own righteousness, they are in a truly dangerous situation and they will be against Christ and they will scatter. Ultimately, that's what they're going to do. Luke chapter 17 from verse 11, we see our Lord Jesus Christ healing 10 lepers. But only one of them came to Jesus Christ. So this is what we read in Luke 17 verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But 9, where are they? Because only one came back. Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Jesus said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. You see, again, it is not about what happened in your life. All 10 were cleansed. So it's not something to brag, you know, oh yeah, the unclean spirit left me and, you know, you make a Christian testimony out of that. But you see, it's not about what happened in your life, but it is all about whether you believe in Jesus Christ. So what if the evil spirit leaves you? You are still his house. It really does not matter even if you lead a good life according to this world. It is actually a very dangerous situation. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit came to you and he lives in you and gives you faith. And only then, if it is the work of Holy Spirit in you, only then you will not seek to establish your own righteousness. Only then you will confess that you are a sinner who truly deserves the eternal hell. Only then you will believe that you are accepted by our God only by and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only then you will not boast in yourself. Otherwise, if it's not the Holy Spirit's work in you, then your final state is going to be worse than the first. But brothers and sisters, Holy Spirit lives in you. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. So you believe. Believe. If I compare my works with your works, even if outside people will see how holy pastor is and how not holy you are, it really doesn't matter. And I'm not holy apart from Christ. Only in Christ I am holy. But see, you believe and I believe. That's what makes us Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ. Of course, when we do wrong things, we have to repent. But actually, we repent no matter what we did. Because you got to be honest with yourself. Our heart is always mixed. Oh, you say, I do it for the glory of God, but I guarantee it, it's mixed. Just a little bit in your heart, you do it for yourself. That's how our hearts are. Until we go to heaven, this will never be perfect. So it's not something God could accept. Unless in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through our passage for today, see your spiritual reality, how you are with Christ and how you are gathering with Jesus Christ. By faith, you are working the works of God. You eagerly believe in Jesus Christ. I will continue to talk about these things next couple more times. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that it is all about Jesus Christ. Because if our salvation is dependent on us, what we do, what we have to do, then no one in this world will be saved. But our salvation is based on what Jesus Christ has done, what He has accomplished for us. This is why we are saved. We are your people. Let us completely trust your Son, Jesus Christ, and let us live our lives by faith in Him. Bless us, God. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.